So if you want to open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, we'll begin here, and let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time to meditate on this important book in the Old Testament. We pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would just help us to better understand its message and apply it to our lives. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have the book of Ecclesiastes, and right in verse 1 of this book, the author is describes himself as a son of David who was a king. And I take that to mean a reference to King Solomon. And right there in the early verses of the book, the author describes himself as a preacher, which means someone literally an assembler of wisdom. And this book comes to us, it's almost like a written like a book or a sermon. It contains, in the first few verses, it contains an overall introduction to the theme of the book. And then it follows an outline of that theme, and it can be outlined variously, but there are three main sections in the body of the book. And then it closes with some practical exhortations and applications based on the basic message of this book. And here we see a passage that pretty well describes the theme of this book. And we're in verse 2, Solomon writes, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." And what we want to point out in this key passage, it's this little expression where Solomon says, under the sun. And this is really a key expression to understanding the book. It's obviously a figure of speech, and it refers to all the goings on in the natural realm on earth underneath the sun, excluding God on the other side of the sun. And so it's looking at life from man's perspective, apart from God. And so that's why we read so many that seem very cynical and discouraging words in this book. And here we see that Solomon was a deep thinker. And in this book, he was thinking about the meaning of life. He was searching for some way to make sense of everything that he saw around him. And he was seeking for satisfaction. And in this book, he seeks for satisfaction in pleasure and wine, women, music, power, prestige, pleasure, and prosperity. And all of these things, he concludes that none of those things satisfy. None of those things really answer the meaning of life. And so throughout this book, he's describing what he saw in under the sun, apart from any revelation from God, by observing the natural world around him. And his conclusion was, what's the point of living? Life is vain, life is empty, life is pointless. And you know, I can remember so clearly as a brand new believer, and for somehow this was one of the first books I read after I was saved, and my jaw dropped. I couldn't believe what I was reading, because this is exactly what I had been thinking for about a year or so before I got saved. What's the point of life? You know, it doesn't seem like there's any rhyme or reason to it. And so Solomon brings this out in this book. And he concludes that apart from God, apart from God's truth, there really isn't any meaning to life or purpose for living. And he mentions in this book his search for significance. In other words, what's the point of life? I'm just an insignificant little speck of dust in a vast universe. My life is meaningless. My life has no significance. And life isn't all that it's cracked up to be. One generation passes away and another generation comes and replaces it, and what's the point? And then in verse 11 of chapter 1, he says, there's no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are to come with those things that shall come after. In other words, in a few years, nobody will remember me. Nobody will remember my life. I'll be gone, and there'll be a new generation come. And once you're out of sight, you're out of mind. And there's just no significance to life and to living apart from God. And then he was seeking for contentment. And again, his point was, apart from God, you're never going to find contentment in life. And again, Solomon sought to find peace and happiness and contentment and satisfaction in by gaining things in this life, earthly things. And he discovered that they don't produce satisfaction. And think of this as a king. If all the wealth and the money and the power and the women that Solomon had access to, 700 wives and 300 concubines, he was one of the wealthiest men, wealthiest kings ever. He was in Israel's, the golden age of Israel's history, when they were at their zenith of power and wealth. And none of it satisfied. And so if that didn't satisfy Solomon in his position, those earthly things, how could an average Joe like you or me ever find contentment in what we hope to gain in this life? And again, his point is, it's pointless to seek satisfaction in the things of this earth. And then he sought for purpose in life. He wanted to discover, why am I here? What's the point of living? And again, he failed. He found no purpose under the sun. And that's the whole point of this book. Under the sun, in the natural realm, there is no real meaning to life. There is no real purpose to life. He says in chapter 1, the sun comes up and then it goes down. He says the wind blows this way and then it blows that way. He says the rivers all run into the ocean and the ocean never gets full. And his point is that all of this activity taking place in the earth around us, in the creation, it's pointless. It goes on and nothing ever comes of it. And so under the sun, on earth, it looks like everything's constantly busy and changing. The wind's blowing and the sun's coming up and moving and rivers are flowing, but nothing ever really changes. And he says in verse 9, the thing that hath been in the past, it is that which shall be in the future. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. And so this was very discouraging to King Solomon. He looked around at all the goings on in the earth around him, the creation, the natural realm, and also in the world of humanity. And his conclusion was, with all these so-called new things taking place, nothing's really new. It's all been done before. It's just a new version of something old. And what's the point? And so of all man's work and of all man's labor and activity, he doesn't find any rhyme or reason. It's vain. All is vanity. And here's a chart I found. I think it was by, I can't remember the guy's name. But I found this. It was an interesting outline of the book of Ecclesiastes. First part, exploration. The second part, at the end, the exhortation. And then he just follows through on the different chapter settings. And so notice on the left, under exploration, he says there is on the bottom, it says a declaration of vanity. So in the early couple of chapters, he's declaring the theme of the book. He declares that everything is vain in this life and there's no purpose to any of it. And we looked at that a little bit already. And so Solomon explored various potential avenues to find meaning in his life. And he sought to discover all the things that are done under the sun. And it says in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 1, I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And so here, Solomon tells us that he gave himself totally to search out in the wisest possible way what the meaning was for all the things that are done under heaven. And all the activities of man all throughout history. And God gave man to occupy himself with work and labor, providing food and shelter for himself and his family, and maybe trying to make the world a better place and improve the quality of his life. And Solomon's conclusion was that it's all vanity and vexation of one's spirit. And so life under the sun, to Solomon, he developed a very cynical attitude towards life. It was discouraging, depressing, and pointless. And notice also he mentions to the left on the top, the vanity of doing. And that he unfolds in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. So he wasn't only thinking of the issue of life and its purpose and meaning, but he also gave himself to discover it by practice. He experimented with all different kinds of things that maybe, he thought, might be able to satisfy the heart of man, and maybe it might be able to give meaning to life. And so he says in the first two verses of chapter 2, I said in mine heart, go to now. I will prove thee, I will test thee with mirth and enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. And I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? So here Solomon says he went through a phase where he just gave up everything else and he focused on just having fun. Pleasure and laughter and kind of a light and frothy kind of life. And he tested it. We don't know how long he tested this for, but he tested it just to see if it would work, if it would bring peace to his life and give meaning to his life. And his conclusion was that this also is vanity. And of mirth, what doeth it? We might say, what good is it? It's good for nothing. And so far, very cynical conclusions that he's drawn. In chapter 2 and verse 3, he says, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. So here was another experiment. He gave himself to wine, to getting a buzz and to getting feeling the effects of alcohol, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom. And to lay hold on folly till I might see, he was testing this to see what was good for the sons of men, which they should do unto heaven all the days of their life. So Solomon experimented with wine. He also laid his hands on folly here, strong drink. And he was trying to prove one way or another, can this really bring happiness to a person's life? Can this really make a person have meaning in life? Is this going to bring joy to his heart? And, you know, he seemed to recognize that drinking and getting drunk and out of your mind with drugs or alcohol or whatever it might be, he seemed to know that it was folly, but he wanted to experiment with it just to prove it to himself, if it was really something that was good for the sons of men. And then he tried all kinds of other experiments in chapter 2 as well. In verse 4, he says, I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards. And so he experimented with building projects, and we know his building projects. He built the temple, he built his own palace, he built an armory in Lebanon and filled it with giant gold, solid gold shields. He built all kinds of things. He says in verse 7, and I got me servants and maidens. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. He accumulated large herds of cattle. He says, and I gathered me also silver and gold. He was unbelievably wealthy. And he says in verse 8, and I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. And so here, Solomon gave himself to experiment with all different areas of life to see if anything could really satisfy the hole in his heart. If anything could give meaning to life. The works of his hands, his building projects, all of his accomplishments, his cattle, his silver and his gold and music and all of that. And then he says, and so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. God made him, he gave him more wisdom than any man on earth. He didn't use it well, but God gave it to him. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart for any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. So here Solomon says he gave himself to a totally hedonistic life, just living for self, living for pleasure, living for satisfaction, trying to find some kind of meaning out of life. And so he experimented in these areas to the fullest, far deeper than you or I could ever go. He could afford anything he wanted. And so he says, whatever his eyes saw that attracted him, he got it. He bought it. He tried it all out to prove whether it would satisfy. And everything that his eyes could see, he got, but none of it satisfied. And you know, the fact that Solomon did this as a wealthy man, as a king, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He had gold more than any other king before him. He had wisdom. He had all this. And if none of that satisfied the heart of Solomon, then we could never accumulate all the things that he was able to accumulate. And so if all that brought no satisfaction to his heart, if this is the best that we can accumulate in this life, it's never going to work for us either. So he was a perfect example for God to use to demonstrate the vanity of life under the sun. He had unlimited resources. He had unlimited opportunity. And none of it panned out in the end. His conclusion was, after proving all these things, he states in the very next verse, he says, then, after having everything, he just gave himself fully to pleasure and hedonism. He says, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. There was nothing he could do in this world under the sun to bring satisfaction and meaning to his life. Everything that he tried, and he tried virtually everything, and he found it to be vexation of spirit. And that means a futile striving in his inner man, spinning his wheels in the mud and never getting anywhere. And he discovered that life is pointless and empty. And what's the whole, why bother living? He had a terrible attitude that he describes here of life under the sun. And then in verse 17, he says, therefore, I hated life. He hated his life. He was a king. He had everything, servants and gold and anything he could possibly want. And you know what? He still hated his life. Because the work that is wrought under the sun, apart from God, is grievous unto me. He discovered that everything that he owned under the sun was grievous to him. And he hated his life. His experiment to try to find something that would bring meaning and satisfaction was a total failure. There was nothing under the sun that could bring satisfaction. And he became extremely cynical here. He ended up hating his life. Why live? There's no meaning to life under the sun. There's no purpose in life. There's no contentment or satisfaction. He saw no reason for living. Everything was vain, empty, purposeless. And all it caused him was for his inner man, his heart, his spirit, to be agitated and frustrated. And it left him cold and empty. And then he says, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun. Everything that he did, all his works, all of his accomplishments, all of his building projects, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And this was the final stab of pointlessness to life. After all that he built, and after all of his constructions, his orchards and his gardens and his pools and all the rest, he ended up hating his life, and he hated all the things that he built because he knew that he was going to leave it to someone else. And who knows? That someone else, his son, might be a fool and waste it. And so even his accomplishments under the sun seemed empty to him. If he's going to have to leave it to a fool, and the fool is going to take charge over all the things that he labored for his whole life. And he says in verse 20, therefore my heart despaired. So here in the first two chapters, Solomon is pessimistic. He's cynical. He's weary of life. He's discouraged. And why? Because he was looking at life from the wrong angle. He was looking at life under the sun, and he was leaving God out of his worldview. And of course, he said there's no rhyme or reason to life apart from God. God is the only one that can fill that empty place in the heart of man. And only God's Spirit can fill that empty heart with meaning and love and peace and joy, the fruit of the Spirit. And really, that's the point of this book. That those who seek to fill that void in their heart with other things, whether it's wine or drugs or women or property or money or fame or position, Solomon had it all, they will end up disappointed, disillusioned, discouraged, empty, frustrated, unsatisfied, and be vexed in their spirit. And that's because the answer is not found under the sun. The answer is found in God and God alone. Only He can bring meaning and satisfaction to life. So that's the introduction that Solomon gives, and he's going to elaborate on that further on. But here we have a picture of life for most people in the world today. That's why they need the gospel. That's why people need to be saved. Because life is empty and vain and discouraging and depressing for millions, billions of people. And the answer is so simple. It's found in God's word. So we will continue this next week, Lord willing, and Solomon has a good answer for it at the end. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reality, the truth of it. And Lord, thank you that you have opened our eyes to see beyond the sun, that we can dwell in heavenly places, that we can lay up our treasures in heaven and not on the passing things of this world. Father, just help us to have a right worldview, a right attitude towards life and time and eternity. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.